sink. Okay. So, what are we talking about?
Well, we were discussing differences between Homestuck and Adventure Time and the quality that is in one and the quality that used to be in the other.
Okay. So, well, let's go on to Adventure Time. Let's start there.
Let me make it clear first that we were saying Adventure Time currently has quality and always has had quality, and Homestuck used to have quality.
Yeah.
But no longer really has any.
Yeah, I mean, Adventure Time, basically what it started out as was kind of a silly little adventure, but it was a big world-building thing.
It was a slice of life with fairly, you know, I'd say almost archetypical, standard, fairly standard characters at first. I mean, you had the hero, you had the princess, you had the villain, and it's given a slice of life since then and evolved those characters from those archetypes at the same time, which is absolutely fabulous.
Well, yeah, but I mean, also with Adventure Time, it had consistency. It always had a lot of consistency. One of the things that I like about Adventure Time, now I'm certainly not in the demographics for what Adventure Time is really selling to, but what I've always liked about it is it adheres to a few principles that I like a lot. One, it's consistent. It's always had that consistency.
It's consistent on every level, which really impresses me. I would say the attention to, I've said this before in our discussions, Adventure Time's attention to detail is so fine-tuned. I think that is absolutely impressive. It's consistent on every level. It's fabulous.
Yeah, and it has characters that change over episodes. I mean, for instance,
which would be character development.
Definitely character development, but not only character development in terms of personality, but in terms of what clothes they wear, what hairstyle they wear, everything else.
And that's something you really don't see a lot of cartoons do. What a lot of cartoons tend to do is they put the same character in the same clothes, and that's the image you always see.
Absolutely.
Bubblegum has worn a different outfit in a ton of episodes. Marceline changes her outfit every episode. She's had her head shaved. So has Finn. I think the only characters that consistently wear the same clothes would be Finn and the Ice King.
Jake.
You know, out of the characters that wear clothes, they're the ones that... But, I mean, others change their outfits. Their clothing changes.
Most of them, yeah.
And the best part about that is, what's great and that indicates is, you don't need the same visual every time to recognize the character. They have fleshed out their characters and left enough of an impression on you. You don't need to see the same image every time to know who they are.
No, and I'll agree there. The thing is, especially nowadays with Adventure Time, is that what it's become is they spent the time world building. They spent the time figuring out these characters, fleshing out everything, and now what they're doing is they're really coming into a story, into mm-hmm. making something, into showing the history of the world, into showing what, you know, just relationships between characters and characterizations and character development. And that's, I think, one of the best parts of Adventure Time, certainly nowadays, is that we're seeing a very fleshed out world. I'd compare it, and I've compared it before, to Futurama, as mm-hmm. it's that kind of good.
Whereas I'd almost say it's very, very similar in the sense that in every Futurama episode you get a slice of life. Very occasionally there's mention of like an overarching storyline, or they'll reference a few episodes back for something that's happening in the current one, which has happened in Adventure Time in the past. But it's very much like you just get to learn about the characters you're watching, which is fabulous if it's done right, and I would say both of them do it right.
Well, yeah, and the thing is that neither of them have an apocalyptic plot or anything like that. Neither of them have a plot that is more important than the characters or the world.
Mm-hmm.
The characters can't really affect the world, for instance. None of these characters...
They live in it.
They live
and
in
they
it.
Affect, they affect their immediate area of living, but, I mean, if Finn saves one princess... It's not like the kingdom, it's not like, yeah, there's no giant overturning of kingdoms every time the Ice King kidnaps someone. Just Finn is sort of heralded as, yay, you're awesome, and the Ice King is an inconvenience to everyone who has to deal with him, and there's no giant waves, but you still feel like they make a difference.
I mean, you do have every once in a while the occasional Lich episode where, oh my god, the Lich is going to destroy reality. But besides that, and that's kind of the Lich, I mean, he is supposed to be that kind of whatever. But those are few and far between,
ooh,
too.
Actually,
what?
This might sound like an interesting comparison. I'm thinking of Mario right now. Like the Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
Whereas Bubblegum is like Peach, Bowser would be the Ice King. It's sort of grown into, it's just an inconvenience. Bowser was never any threat to the princesses in the end. Just an inconvenience. Mario always won.
Sure.
You could say his sidekick would be like Luigi and or Jake. Or not Luigi. Well, I guess Luigi. Maybe Yoshi, but...
Sure.
That's sort of what I'm likening it to. And then, I don't know what, terrible baddie you would compare the Lich to. But it's like taking Princess Peach and actually showing you her kingdom when you get into the Candy Kingdom.
I mean, that's probably what they started as. I know Penn Ward, I think he's mentioned before, he's a big video game fan, so...
I would not be surprised.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that's where they started from at the very least. Like, oh, what could we do here?
The thing is, I was going to say, the rescue the damsel in distress archetype is one that's been... played out a bajillion times.
Although
lines.
I wouldn't
that
call...
is, that is an old story.
I wouldn't call Bubblegum a damsel in distress, though.
No, but that's the fun part. They took that convention, and then they said, no.
Well, that's because...
they actually gave us that tough princess who don't need no man.
We don't need those kind of conventions in the world today. And this is where I...
And, well, the thing is, it's great that they acknowledged that.
Yes, I think so, too. The thing,
and it's not, what's not great to me is how Homestuck took a strong character, took a very independent character, a very bubblegum or Marceline-like character, and then made her,
but this
you
is,
know, emotionally
this
locked
is
her.
Every single female character in Homestuck, for the most part. I mean, Homestuck has become this thing where, I mean, Andrew Hussey, he does not know how to write female characters. I'm sorry. He just does not. And I don't care.
And the problem was, in the beginning, I got the impression that he did. He gave us some very strong female characters at the beginning. I just think at this point, they've all kind of gone to shit.
Well, then he doesn't know how to write them, does he? If he can't consistently write them? I mean, writing them is fine.
I was going to say, but my problem with that is, it's not like he just wrote 3 pages, 4 pages, enough to give us an impression and then ruined them. He gave us, for a couple months, a consistently strong characterization of 3-4 girls, at least.
It was consistent for a long time. I'll agree with you. And then every last one of them went to hell. Every last one of them. There is not a single... I mean, you could argue that a few are still strong... I would disagree with you on certain grounds on all of them, but I mean, this is the difference. I mean, you look at something like Adventure Time, that is quality that shows the strong female characters, that has the good story, that has all this stuff. And then you look at Homestuck, and you go and you look at it, and you go, wait a second, why is this character being shown this way? Why is this character no longer a strong character? Why is this character suddenly dependent? And then you start wondering, why is it this way? I start wondering that. Especially because...
Well, and the problem is, you can wonder all you like, because so much of this development was shown behind closed doors, as in, we were just told about it and never shown it, we're never going to understand. Whereas with Adventure Time, we've been shown everything, and the thing is, Marceline developed like this because of the Ice King and all this stuff, and she's not just telling us, we're actually being shown. It wasn't a sidelong mention in a single episode, oh yeah, we traveled together before the apocalypse, and he looked after me and stuff.
And that's why the emotional impact is there.
We're getting entire episodes showing us this relationship as it developed, which is what Homestuck is missing.
Well, Homestuck
especially
is missing a lot.
Especially with all this current relationship. Well, yeah, but...
Well, no, that's exactly
My immediate gripe is with this, with the latest content, and just like, hey, things have happened, and we're just getting them thrown at us in media res.
Well, it's not even that. It's writing 101. There is, when you write, you don't want to tell what the audience is supposed to feel.
No, you want to show. That's basic.
You want to write what's going on. I mean, it's even if you're writing longer, even if you're taking longer to write it out, it's worth every second of that writing because you're showing that relationship. You're showing what's going on. You're showing the dialogue. You're showing the characterizations. You're showing the friendships or the whatever.
The example being, don't say, you know, they talked about this. You write out the dialogue instead.
Yeah, I mean, because the easy way out is saying, oh, they talked about whatever. Or, oh, we started going out. But the interesting part of someone going out, let's say, in a story, you know, finally dating in a story or something, is that lead up. Is that why are they interested in one another? Why would they be in there?
It's the slow burn of the anticipation. It's the build. It's watching it happen from beginning to end. That's where the emotional contact and connection really happens. I mean, I would say the most powerful experience was in one of my lives was watching two people. Like, I was there when they met. I was there when they started dating. I was there when he proposed. And watching that, the entire thing develop and them fall in love was incredible. Because I had so much more of an emotional impact than, say, if I'd just seen the proposal. If I'd seen the proposal, I'd be like, aw. No, I was in tears. Because you got to see the whole thing. That's what an emotional connection means in writing or in real life. And I would say Adventure Time gives us that, which is why those Marceline and Ice King episodes hit so hard. Yeah. Because we are watching one of the strongest emotional connections as it's developed. And the impact when it comes back to real life and they remind us of the present time is stunning.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's one of the big failings of Homestuck on the other hand. Because, especially lately, we've been told everything that's been going on relationship-wise with the characters.
Yeah.
There hasn't been a single thing with the relationships or with whatever else that we haven't been told.
And at the same time, I don't want it to spam about relationships. I want it to... I don't want to see, like, everything that's going on in their relationships. Oh, yeah. I don't want to see the entire... When I'm talking about the show-not-tell of a relationship, I'm not saying I want to see every romance develop in Homestuck. It would be okay to infer a few places and then, you know, have us shown something. Like, the inference at the beginning of Act 5, when relationships are really first introduced to the comic... The inference of Carcant and Terese being an on-and-off thing. The inference of... Or the pre-established fact, even, of Nepeta and Equius being really tight Moirails. The established fact of Feferi and Aridin being Moirails. And just, like, pre-established facts are fine, but the fact that we've seen it develop is what gives it the emotional impact. And I don't want to see all of their relationships play by play as everything happens. That's too much. There's too many characters for that.
Well, no.
But it's still, like, that would be the skill of the writer is to balance that.
Well, also you got to look at what happened in the beginning. Yes, we were told about their relationships, but we also saw a slice of life from their relationships as well.
Right.
We saw Carcat and Terese in the beginning flirting and talking very, very casually about things, and eventually having Teresi's, you know, infer that they kissed once or something like that, whatever. And then at the same time, you know, with Equius and Nepeta, we saw their conversations together, how close they were. We saw, you know, I mean, name a character. We saw Aridin and Feferi and their conversations and everything else, and how Feferi was not very happy with it,
mm-hmm.
and how Aridin had stronger feelings. And whether or not you buy into those things, we were at least shown those things, which is why I think so many people had such good feelings for the trolls. I mean, you could even say it with the kids, the beta kids. Their personalities and everything else and them talking to one another and the trolls led a lot of people into believing, you know, this relationship is going to happen. I mean, it's the whole thing where the freaking goddamn shipping things come from. You know? Because we're shown these things rather than told it. If we were told, oh yeah, Carcat and Terezi have been on and off forever, but we haven't been shown any of their interactions with one another.
It was just a who cares sort of thing, but because we have been shown it, you know, they're my favorite ship, but it bugs me that Hussey seemed to used to have a very good handle on that sort of thing, and he's lost it, be it he's listening to ship-hungry fans, or I don't know what. It frustrates me because Homestuck, like, it had a superb quality to it. It was satirical. It was a story about four 13-year-olds that when I was 19, 20, I started reading it. I laughed at it. I loved it. Trickster Mode was a joke, but it was hilarious because it was a secret. There were Easter eggs. They wasn't like a ham-handed slap in the face of, I'm doing this, or this is the joke. It was subtle because Hussey expected his audience to be smarter than that because he just can't finish the problem sleuth. Now he's handing everything to us because he doesn't think we can take it.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, literally, you hit the ball on the head right there. And it's not even that he's handing everything. I think he's just grown lazy with writing this stuff. I think he just doesn't care. And if he does care, then why is he ruining characterizations?
What the hell is he doing if he cares?
Like, look at Terezi. Look at what happened with Terezi.
You're taking my favorite character. She's my favorite character. I've cosplayed her. She's my favorite character. I'm going to cut your throat and smell you and hear you bleed as I smell you die or something. She was quirky. She was macabre. She was snarky and vicious and hilarious, and I adored the snot out of her. And now she's depressive and stuck in an emotionally abusive relationship and man-dependent. And as much as, okay, I think what Hussey's trying to do is catch on to every sort of social wrongdoing and highlight it somehow in the course of his comic, because he's hit a ton of stuff at this point, what the hell is the purpose of it?
Especially with a character like that, who, honestly, I could never see as being that kind of dependent.
If there was a very plot-specific reason that this was supposed to happen, fine.
What?
But right now, it seems like he's
no. I actually disagree with you. Plot-specific reason for this to happen? Uh-uh. This should have never happened with this character.
Well, that's my thing, is it doesn't work with the plot, it doesn't work with the character. If there was a reason for it, other than appealing to fans, fine.
Is it appealing to fans?
I don't know. I don't know why he's doing it. I don't understand. Because to me, it makes no damn sense.
It seems like he just wanted Terezi to feel guilty and her whole life is ruined because she feels so guilty.
Well, and the problem is, okay, you're a troll, you've killed your best friend. Yes, that's going to have some emotional fallout. But troll culture was so death heavy. Everyone acknowledged death.
Yeah.
Everyone had killed before. Everyone had dealt with the death of someone they'd known before. Solix killed his girlfriend.
And Terezi, I'm pretty sure in comic, she helped Vriska kill things for her Lucis.
Yeah.
Kill trolls for her Lucis.
They flarp together. They have killed. Death for trolls should not be this mind-numbing, life-changing sort of thing. They literally lived with it daily. It should not have that much of an impact.
Well, even if it does have an impact, it shouldn't completely change her personality.
Because she dealt with it in the past.
I mean, but even if she hadn't, even if she had never dealt with this, which she had, but even if she never had, it shouldn't be something that literally changes her personality into something completely different. I mean, a 180. She was a character that was never dependent. Never. Not once.
Never.
She could take care of herself. She didn't need anyone, although, you know, she wanted.
She could have someone if she wanted, and she did half the time when it worked. But she could function independently. She liked being blind. What the absolute has happened since then? Because we were never told. We were never told. We were never shown. Suddenly she has her eyes back and is whining about her emotional dependence on an abusive character.
and an abusive relationship too. Yeah. A relationship that is emotionally abusive. And she's whining, basically, about how she doesn't want to be with him, and yet how she needs to be with him.
And I cannot stand that. Literally, I cannot stand that. I know a person in real life who is very, very similar to this. And every other week, it's, I'm leaving them. I'm leaving this person that has treated me badly. We're over. They tell me all this horrible stuff the significant other has done to them. I'm leaving them. It's over. We're done. The next week, we're back together. I couldn't leave them. I love them so much. They were, you know, said they were going to kill themselves without me. And that was the complete opposite of what Terese was. And for her to have become that behind in the wings and the sidelines without us seeing why the hell that happened annoys the snot out of me, because she was my favorite character. I don't understand.
But it's not only her. Look at Rose.
Yeah. Well, Therese's the biggest example for me, but Rose is another one.
Look at what happened to her. She's another strong female character. Suddenly, she gets in a relationship that I personally think is baffling. Whatever. I know other people might not think
it, I would say
but
the Rose and Kanaya relationship was entirely born of fandom stuff.
Yeah.
Entirely.
But, I mean, the thing is, I never saw it once.
I'm not saying it is a bad relationship, whatever, but it was entirely born of fan influence.
Yeah. But, I mean, the thing is, okay, completely born of fan influence, whatever. One, it doesn't work for me, whatever. I don't care. But the thing that annoys me the most about it is that she's drunk.
Yeah, let's think about this, people, and let's, because apparently alcoholism is an endearing quality now. And you know what? It can be a character quirk. But when it's a, how old are they in that?
She was 15 when that happened.
She was 15 at the time, canonically.
14 or 15, yeah.
She's a 14 or 15-year-old alcoholic. Does that bother anyone else?
Oh, it bothers me. I've mentioned this many a time. Same thing with Roxy and her whole thing. That bothered me, too. 16-year-old. God damn.
Yeah. Like, let's take one step back and realize the people were joking. You know, the thing we think is cute. Aw, she likes booze. We're 21. We're 20 and older reading this, and I'm sure there are younger people. There's absolutely younger people reading this and thinking.
I'm in my mid 20s, for God's sake.
Yeah. So alcohol for us is pretty normal, especially in this culture. But at the same time, if you are in high school, your sophomore year of high school, you're pretty young, and you know someone who's legitimately an alcoholic, there's a problem there. And yeah. If they just suddenly become an alcoholic, they weren't before. For no reason, they start becoming an alcoholic.
They just start drinking like crazy.
They're a fish. Like, just... What?
Especially Rose, who had shown no interest in alcohol up to that point. There was a one-time joke of her spitting it out.
Yes, exactly. Who literally, at the beginning of the comic, tried it, said, blah, it's nasty. Spit it out. Never tried it again. Suddenly, it's her favorite thing in the world.
And it's just like, oh, now she's in a completely crazy relationship with this troll for some reason. I'm sorry, Kanaya has no personality. Why is Rose interested in her? Why is it? I mean, I don't understand this as a thing, even. I don't get it. And it's just like, all of a sudden, they're together. Okay, fine. She's a drunkard. They're making out in an alleyway. And then we have
another voyeur in the ducks, which makes no sense.
It's just like, I don't understand why a comic that was really good quality until Act 5, basically, is all
of a
sudden...
I would argue basically through the end of Act 5 is when I was able to stomach it.
I mean, I would say at any point in Act 5 for me, but...
Right, okay. Well, but I would say through Act 5, I could stomach it. I could say, yes, I like this comic, and I wouldn't be ashamed of saying it. But once Act 6 started... Oh, I just spit on my screen.
But I mean, like, look at the alpha... All it is shipping. That's all it is. That's all it consists of anymore is shipping.
That completely bothered me when the alpha kids were introduced. I was like, oh... sweet. We get to see some flipped personalities.
I was actually excited for a little while.
Yeah.
Until
So was I. And then it became about the relationships. And you know what? Shipping is fine. It's great as a side.
No, it isn't.
No. Shipping is fine. It's great as a side element. But the instant that's... I'll disagree with you. It sprinkles on the sundae of the story. The main plot has to be the ice cream. You're not going to eat a bowl full of sprinkles and enjoy yourself. You have to have a heavy dollop of that plot. Or otherwise, you're eating a bowl of whipped cream and sprinkles, and that's not attractive to me. If you want shipping, read a romance novel where story sucks and you just have sprinkle, 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 sprinkle of, you know, relationship and sex and something building. But Homestuck was more than that. Homestuck had given us powerful story and quality. It had some amazing quotes in it. Like, it's hard growing up. It's hard and no one understands. Wow.
And that's just hitting the surface of it, too.
Yes. But the instant he took our sundae with the ice cream and the chocolate and the whipped cream and, you know, occasional sprinkles, the instant he took that and said, oh, you guys like the candy I put on top? Like, here, we'll have a bowl full of sprinkles and enjoy yourselves. I didn't like the sprinkles. That's not why I was eating the sundae. I was eating it for the ice cream underneath, but all he's giving us with Act 6 and onward is a whole bunch of sprinkles with maybe a drip or two that fell out of the machine.
I personally think he's doing this because that's what the fans want. He's either giving the fans what they want or he's making fun of what the fans want. Either way, the fans are getting what they want.
Don't get me started on making fun of the fans. Do not get me started. The fucking Dancestors.
Or Calliope and Caliborn. They work too.
I hate with a white-hot passion the Dancestors. Because they are literally a mockery of the fans. There is, as of yet, no substantial plot reason for them to exist.
None.
We've had hints of it. But he has not been shown. How long have they been in existence? A damn long time. Every single one of them is a poke of fun at the fans. He is publicly mocking everyone who reads his comic.
Yeah.
And all that the fans have done has been like, oh, yay, characters. No. No, you do not do that. You are mocking everyone who has supported your comic. And you know what? Yes, some of these people are idiots and not looking at what you're really writing.
Oh, a lot of them are. Come on.
But Kankri is a social justice mock. He's making fun of all the white knighters out there. And, you know, he tried to make a funny pun on insufferable and sufferer. No. Porin. Let's make a feminist who's the town bicycle. Hooray!
Oh, no, but hooray, if you say that, if you say that, you're slut-shaming.
Oh, no. No, I'm not trying to slut-shame. What I'm doing is I'm calling Hussie out for making fun of Tumblr.
Oh, that's exactly what it is.
He's making fun of Tumblr. What the fuck does Tumblr have anything to do with your comic? It shouldn't.
And the funniest thing is, the fans don't even get it. They don't even see it.
Well,
they
know what? I think the problem is, I think some people do. But the instant they call it out, I'm sure.
Oh, me?
Calling
that out?
The instant it's called out, we hate the comic. We don't understand the comic. You people don't get it. We have been reading Homestuck since it was 30 pages long. We were reading Problem Sleuth and finished it before Homestuck existed. We have been with this comic since day 10 that it existed or something, back when he was updating 4 pages a day, and it was adorable.
I mean,
We have seen this comic at its highs. Yeah. We have seen this comic at its highs, and now we are seeing it at its lows. We understand it. I've been told by a lot of people, comparing him, Justin and I, that I get it, and he doesn't.
Oh, yeah.
Because I did fan art for it. I did the song sets. For those listening, I'm sure you've seen the Eat video. I did the original comic for that. Those who've seen the Plastic Soul video for Gansey, I did the original song set of that. Just because I did fan art, clearly I get it and he doesn't. No. We both understand it. We have read Homestuck. We have been looking at it. as long as it's existed, pretty much. Because we have problems with it does not make us horrible people.
We're it makes me a little horrible.
Well, no, the way you go, you're funny. You're funny. You poor man. He's pissing on the fun of Homestuck, apparently. He's a puppy that I can't train.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to, yeah.
We're not trying to piss on the fun of Homestuck.
I kind
of am. Shut up. We are disappointed, very much so, because we loved Homestuck.
We were invested in it.
We were very invested in it. We loved it. We saw absolute quality in it, akin to Problem Sleuth, the story that caught our attention in the first place. And it has since, to us, lost the quality that we fell in love with.
And wait, I got to say something here. Because a lot of people are going to call us out and say, well, if you don't like it anymore, then why are you even talking
about it? Oh, gosh. That argument's the dumbest piece of shit I've ever heard.
It really is. Look, you can do anything you want. We're criticizing something. I pay attention to it literally just to laugh at it. Literally, I read it to go and make fun of it because it's so bad. And if I'm getting hussy views, okay, fine. But I'm still going and being vocal about criticizing it. Like, I go and I talk about criticizing this all of the time. And this is probably going to be something we're going to do a decent amount.
It makes me upset that, you know, to see how far it's fallen. I don't mind it getting views. I think the beginning of it, everyone should read. I think that story is stellar, and I want to reread the beginning of Homestuck over and over and over again. I think Problem Sleuth should get the same attention. I think it's better than Homestuck. But
oh, it is.
I just don't understand how people can read Homestuck and love it and not try and read some of Hussey's other things. Just because we don't share your opinion doesn't mean that we don't understand. We saw this argument when Justin wrote out a critique that he doesn't get it. He doesn't understand the subtleties that is Hussey's writing. And, you know, just because I've done fan art for it, clearly I understand it and love it to death. And, you know, why it... Yeah, you're a curmudgeon and a puppy.
I like the one comment. I mean, I've said this to everyone I meet. The one comment of basically, what was it? The person doesn't ever want to hear me say anything again.
I'm the biggest
jerk on the planet.
I got a comment on my blog after I received flack for his critique. I was getting flack because he had published my boyfriend had published something that was an unpopular opinion about Homestuck. I was getting flack for it. And I, on my blog, received a message saying, well, tag your stuff because of the one message you put up from your boyfriend and the four ways you responded to Anons about this message, I don't want anything to do with your boyfriend, so tag your shit.
Then you've got the White Knighters, too, who are like, oh, you shouldn't ever put up with this guy because I made a single joke.
Oh, yeah, I got White Knighters against my boyfriend. I got White Knighters saying, well, he treats you like shit. No, he doesn't. I'm sorry. You don't know.
I love how they have such intimate knowledge about our relationship from a joke that I made that you actually read before I posted.
I previewed your whole article. I don't know what the heck they thought I had a problem with.
Why would you have posted it?
Whatever.
I also like the people who thought we broke up. I wrote the article, and it was a big breakup between us.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was so funny that people are like, well, why are you dating someone who does fan art? We can't have differing opinions if I love it and you don't. Like,
and I find it funny that we actually agree on most of this stuff anyway.
Apparently being a fan of Homestuck is such an exclusive club at this point. And you know what kind of sucks? I have seen that ostracism of, you know, at cons and stuff, Homestuck fans being, like, ostracized and why they kind of feel the need to be defensive. I have cosplayed Homestuck at conventions. I have seen you and other people
I've been nasty about it.
Turn nasty just because people were in Homestuck cosplay, and that sucks. And I get why they feel the need to be defensive. The problem is when they get defensive when people aren't attacking them. It's turned very much into a very closed-off community because no one wants to join, and everyone who's in can't seem to leave.
Well, I mean, I've never been part of the fandom. I never would be.
I know.
And because of the negative things that I heard about the fandom at the time. I mean, this is even two and a half years ago.
I was part of the fandom I was a very large and, big part of the fandom at one point. I had a say. I was very active and not so active now. I don't like the current comic, but I would still say Homestuck holds a place in my heart. So I don't know whether or not to call myself in the fandom or on the fringes of it. Like, I'll still reblog things and like things and... But I am not... do not like the current comic.
Well, it's not even that for me. I had my problems with the fandom because I think the fandom goes into very dark places sometimes.
The fandom doesn't seem to want to police itself either.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I had some problems with, let's say, the pedophilia and the incest and the this and the that.
Mm-hmm.
And the naked 13-year-old characters.
Well, that's what I mean by policing itself. The fandom does not.
You're going to get that in a lot of fandoms, but I think the ages of the characters in this one bothers me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And what I also just don't like is that a lot of these fans are proud of this, of the pedophilia, of the incest, of the sexual contents.
Well, that's what I mean when I said they're not police. It's not a self-policing community. It's not even trying to hide that.
I know.
Mean, like, say MLP. MLP's become very big for this, too. Having a sexual fan base. They're ponies. They're cartoon ponies. And you say MLP fandom, or you say brony, and that sort of holds, like, a new connotation.
Yeah.
You say Homestuck fan, it also holds a new connotation because of the very actively sexual fan base. There's a ton of porn. And then you look at it, they're 13. In the comic, these characters are 13. And that, yes, that holds a negative connotation. And you know what? You're going to have to deal with that. And I'm not saying it should... I'm in no way am I saying that it should rebound on the cosplayers. But if you're going to dress up as these people and then have makeout parties at cons or whatever, like, you're going to make out for cameras, just for cameras, and you're just going to kiss someone because they're dressed like your favorite character, that's a little extreme, I think. And I've never liked that kind of behavior in any fandom.
Well, or just dressing up like a character and then taking off all your clothes and taking pictures that way, too.
Or,
that's a little awkward.
Putting on blonde wig glasses and no clothing and calling yourself Dave. Whee! And the thing is, like, I was part of the Kingdom Hearts fandom. I've seen it in Kingdom Hearts as well.
Oh, Kingdom Hearts was terrible at it for a
Kingdom
time.
Hearts
I don't know
was,
if it still
Kingdom
is.
Kingdom Hearts was... Well, Kingdom Hearts fandom doesn't exist right now because nothing new has come out recently. We pop out of the ground, we're like, gophers. Oh, content? Oh, take it back into our burrows and hide until the next content. what were we talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I guess my... The whole thing that I get really annoyed with is... We were talking about the cosplayers and stuff like that. And
it's a few bad apples ruin the bunch. The problem is, since the Homestuck fandom doesn't really police itself, a lot of those bad apples are a lot more apparent, which leads to, unfortunately, a lot of ostracism and looking down upon at conventions and online, which kind of sucks.
I mean, at least they're not viewed as bad as the Sonic fandom is.
I don't know if anything can get as bad as the Sonic fandom is, although I'm sure...
No, there's another one that was viewed that... Well...
What?
Naruto. That one was viewed pretty badly for a while.
I just thought of it just kind of as more annoying than anything. Not anything bad, just like, eh. And the thing is, it never reflected, to me, it never reflected on the cosplayers.
That's
because
true. Even the Sonic fandom didn't really reflect on the cosplayers.
I'm going to judge a cosplayer by the quality of their cosplay. I'm not going to judge what you're cosplaying.
It's funny. Homestuck is really one of the few that is judged on cosplays.
Which friggin' sucks because
It's weird.
And it also sucks because, you know, when I cosplayed Terezi / Red Glare / whatever the heck that outfit was, because it was her flarping outfit... I want you to judge me for how much work I put into that costume. And you know what? I would say I looked okay.
Yeah, it was a good looking
costume. I was not the best, but I looked okay. I was shocked when I cosplayed Terezi. I was 100% shocked that someone said, "Nice red glare." That was not in Homestuck cosplay. And I have never before felt that in any costume I've ever worn. And I don't think I should feel that. I think if someone...
Well, we did it when we were in other costumes. We would compliment some of the Homestuck things.
Right. But I don't think that's the norm. Is the
Probably not.
That's not the impression I've gotten.
I mean, I don't think the cosplayers should be, but the thing is, again, some of these cosplayers have a very bad reputation nowadays.
Well, you know what? It's not... I think the cosplayers should be judged individually. If you're going to behave badly or, you know, in an awkward, sexually deviant manner in a costume, I'm going to judge you. I don't care what you're wearing.
See, I don't even care about the sexually deviant. What I'd heard was they get really rambunctious and very rowdy and... cause a lot of disturbances and stuff like that. That's what I heard about first.
Well, oh yeah, the whole bucket thing, you know, where chucking buckets was a problem.
Or them thinking that everyone should know exactly what they're dressed as.
Yeah.
Which I think is a pretty dumb thing.
Yeah, that's a little silly. Of course, everyone you talk with on the internet in the Homestuck community is going to know what Homestuck is. Of course. But the instant you step into a convention, not everyone's going to know. Like, when we cosplayed Dragon Age, of course, everyone we talked to about Dragon Age knew about Dragon Age because we were talking about Dragon Age. The instant you step into a convention, that flies out the window. You don't know what other people know, and other people should not automatically know what you do. Chances are, at a convention they're going to, but that making that assumption for them kind of makes you an ass.
Yeah, I mean, usually if you go to, like, I mean, we go to NYCC every year. So... you're going to get video game fans, comic fans, whatever fans, anime fans. I mean, you're going to get all of them. So you're going to find some subset that's going to notice what kind of characters you're dressing up as or whatever else. That's just how it works. But for the most part, I mean...
for the most part, don't be an ass about it. Not everyone is going to know who you are. Especially back when this was becoming a problem. Not everyone in the world knew that Homestuck had something to do with people with orange horns on their head.
I didn't for a long time because I stopped reading the comic after the first 30, 40 pages because I was uninterested in it. And I didn't go back to it for, what, a year and a half or whatever it was.
Our funny story with Homestuck was we started reading it together. He lost interest. I did not. I kept reading it. I got him back into it. Around Act 5, I was like, oh, not another tangent intermission. I stopped reading it. He kept reading it, said, no, Corinne, the trolls are really good. You should read it again. I started up again, and we've been reading it together sort of ever since. I've stopped reading it because I've been so annoyed at it.
Well, you haven't read it for a good year, I would say.
I haven't read it for a good long while. The problem is, of course, I still know what's going on because of Tumblr. But...
I read it out of irony at this point.
I don't know what to do anymore. It baffles me. And I'm going to go back and read the entire thing from the beginning, because I will forever argue that in the beginning, it was absolutely an amazing story. I fell in love with it in the beginning.
See, I actually will disagree with you. I didn't like the first two acts.
I did.
Maybe even the first three acts. I didn't like it at all.
But that's why you stopped and I kept with it. I would argue that, for me, acts 1 through 5... were the best parts of Homestuck.
See, I would disagree and say I like a lot of Act 4. I like a lot of Act 5. I don't like all of Act 5. I like some parts of 1, 2, and 3, but man, oh man, are those rough.
They're slow. That's fine. I'm okay.
It's not even slow. I think they're much quicker than things are now, but they were very rough around the edges, and I don't think he knew exactly where he was going.
You think he knows where he's going now?
No, but the difference is that there's a lot more content now to work with, whereas he didn't have a lot to work with back then.
No, that's true.
I mean, he's made things up as he went along, obviously, but I found it very dry and very uninteresting for a long time. The trolls are really what got me much more interested, because I didn't care about the kids all that much, honestly. I still don't. None of the kids, except for Dave, really interest me at all.
My favorite kids were Rose and Dave when the comic started. I adored them. I thought they were awesome. John was cool. Like, he was a thing. He was funny. And
no,
Jade,
he wasn't. Jade, he was Sora.
Actually, yeah, John was Sora. John had Sora syndrome. But Jade actually annoyed me the most, because the omnipotent thing, like the, oh, just do it, it's okay, I know what's gonna happen. That kind of bugged me. I thought the Dreambot was adorable, though. Like, it's not that even I didn't like Jade, it's just one part of her character annoyed me occasionally when it came up.
No.
I liked the kids. I thought they were solid.
No.
All right, well, I guess we're gonna have to agree to disagree there.
Well, no, no, I mean, I just thought that John was your standard anime hero.
Mm-hmm.
Dave was interesting, but he was interesting because he was funny. He was, I don't know, I found his stylings and what he did, it was just kind of interesting. Rose could have been interesting, I just found her very, very bland.
I liked Rose. I like
and
Rose a
Jade
lot.
Just seemed like a Mary Sue for the longest time. Eventually she got out of it, but for the longest time she was just a Mary Sue to me.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, the fandom, that's exactly how they treat her, is as a Mary Sue. She's basically a self-insert for most of them, because, oh, which character do most of these girls look like?
I'm not even going to touch that statement. I think you're being a little bit silly there.
I'm always silly.
Yeah, but I think you're being a little bit harsh on that.
I don't think it's harsh.
I think so.
I'm not being mean about it. I'm literally stating a fact.
I don't know.
Look at how many Jade cosplayers there are compared to all of the others.
I don't think that cosplaying someone means you're treating them like a Mary Sue or self-insert.
That's what I've seen. That's my impressions of things.
Okay, well.
It's not a popular opinion, but it's mine.
Well, you can have it. I just disagree with it. And I think
you're... disagree.
What?
You can disagree. I don't mind that.
All right, whatever. I'm almost done sewing this arm. I'm currently sewing a lemon grab plushie. And I am on the last arm. I've made his legs and I'm making his arms now.
But the problem is that we've talked about the female characters suffering, but the male characters have all suffered too.
Oh, yeah. We've focused on the females because I think they've fallen farther than a lot of the guys.
Yeah.
Because to me, the female characters at first were exemplary.
Well,
and
not
now
all
they're
of them
not.
Were, but there
well,
were a couple
yeah.
that definitely were.
The guys have fallen too. Yeah, it, no one's escaped the wrath of whatever the hell we're calling the wrath, but...
Again, you don't have characters travel for 3 years and not show any of their character development.
Yeah. That's a bit
Or
of
show
skip.
So little of it that it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, that's a bit of a large time skip to just glaze over.
Like, I don't even know why the 3-year thing
was
even a thing.
I was gonna say, also, I don't even know why the... whatever.
It shouldn't have ever been a thing. It makes no sense. There's no reason for it to be there, except to age the characters up to 16, which they didn't need to be aged up anyway. All the characters should have been 13. Why not?
All the characters acted way older than they were at 13, so why bother aging them up if everyone's just going to be more mature?
Oh, no, Corinne, you're wrong. I've seen posts. 13-year-olds act exactly like that.
Well, all right, certain things, they acted very much like 13-year-olds.
No, no. They are the spitting image of every 13-year-old. No, these are posts that I've seen. 13-year-olds actually are the most intelligent posters on the internet. That's a fact. Bam. I'm being dry right now.
I caught that. That's why I stopped
I don't know if they
you.
Did.
I stopped correcting you. He was being dry.
When I was 13 and I posted on forums, I probably posted very intelligently.
You think you posted intelligently. Everyone looks back on their 13-year-old self, slaps their forehead, and goes, Why?
No, I probably posted like Rose did, actually. I probably would have been her kind of writing.
So you're snarky and full of it.
Yes, I mean, but also
I
have...
Mean, I was going to say, I mean, I love Rose.
But I also have
honest,
perfect
she's
grammar.
She's snarky and full of it.
But I have perfect grammar.
You have... and perfect grammar. Okay, fine.
That's my point. In other words, I didn't post, like, Dave or John, who just kind of, like, lowercase it. Yeah, I mean, they are definitely much more intelligent than I think most 13-year-olds are.
At the same time, it wasn't a 13-year-old writing it, so you've got to excuse the mental age gap.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's tough, because what is he? He's over 30, right?
He's older. I don't know exactly how much. I don't stalk the man.
I do.
actually, you know what? Speaking of creepy things in real-life people, I hate people who ship real-life people. Can't stand it. Why would you ever?
I do it all the time.
That's creepy as hell.
I do it all the time.
For those of you who didn't catch that, he's joking.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Oh, please.
I literally pick two random people off the street and say, I want them together. Right
I want
now.
Them to fuck.
No, I've never understood it myself. I guess every once in a while you might want to, like, have two of your friends get together, for instance.
Right, but that's because you...
I guess.
The thing is, it's because you know them on a personal level, and you're not looking at them physically and saying, oh, they'd be cute if they snuggled. If they're your friends, you're looking at them and saying, oh, I think they'd be good together.
Well, you probably see a lot more of this than I do, because I don't see much of this myself.
I hate real-life shipping, because it's creepy as hell. Those are actual, real people. I don't understand how people can do that.
Well, where have you seen this?
I have seen it starting with Homestuck. I have seen people take Hussey and ship him with characters, a lot of sometimes with like Vriska jokingly. I have seen him ship with Dante Bosco, and it's just like, no, you don't do that. Hussey's got a girlfriend in his own life. How do you think, like, I imagine, hey, if I was famous, I did a thing, and people are my fan. Hooray. That's how would I feel if someone started saying, I think it would be cute if you and someone else, like this other person you did the thing with, fucked. Oh, you guys would be so cute if you were having sex. What? I'm sorry. I'm taken. That's creepy.
Well, I project
that onto, like, Hussey. And again, it's with the lack of policing in this fandom. That's creepy. You know what I've seen that I do not understand the slightest bit? I have seen people ship band members with other members of the same band, or different bands, or whatever. I don't get that. I think that's creepy as hell.
Wow, you are seriously on a different internet than I am sometimes.
Yeah, well, I read bad fanfiction well before you did, so.
Well, I'll give you that. I don't read fanfiction for fun, ever, under any circumstances. Mm-hmm. Whereas I know you have, and I'm assuming, I don't know if you still do or not.
Well, I mean, I do for our review blog, and I think I think bad fanfiction is entertaining.
Well, I'm not just saying bad, I mean, like, any fanfiction.
Not really. Ow. I just cracked my elbow, and that really hurt.
I mean, I was never one for fanfiction, so,
I mean,
I can make fun of it.
I used to read it a lot more. So, I mean, that's...
So I don't know if you... Do you currently read any? I don't even know if you do or not.
Not really, no. I mean, I'm writing that one story that you know about.
Which story that I know about?
The one I read to you.
Which one that you read to me?
The one with Solix and Dave. And how Solix got a new job.
Oh, the one where they're fucking.
No! You! I'm gonna kill you, no, you fool.
Oh no, that's my fanfiction.
Oh
what
no,
am I talking
your
about?
Fanfiction involves mustaches and Solix
and
Equius.
Nothing but mustaches.
And Solix and Equius fucking because mustaches.
Hey, not
I don't
them.
Know. I don't know how you managed
Arthur
to put
and Colonel Sassaker.
I don't know how you managed a plot, but you actually managed to start writing a plot with that.
I gotta keep up with that. I gotta write more.
And to put a caveat on that, the worst part is not fan fiction. The worst part is when people take fan fiction seriously.
It's
because
serious business.
I will punch you in the throat.
No, but I mean, to a lot of these people, it is. It's almost a community thing more than anything else.
Fan fiction can be fun, but in the end, what fan fiction is you playing around in a predetermined universe with all pre-existing characters that are not yours.
Nope.
It's a story for fun, and if you take it seriously, bad.
Well, I mean, I think a good way of putting fan fiction is you put it on the same level as you put, like, Dungeons and Dragons or roleplay in general. You know, like an actual, like, sitting around a table or talking on the internet kind of roleplay.
And you know what? You can have a great Dungeons and Dragons game. You can have a roleplay that is amazing. I'm not trying to knock quality of anything here. The trouble comes when you try to take it seriously.
Yeah. You really can't take it seriously. That's kind of... Well, I mean, you can take it seriously. You can have fun with it. You can even think about it and stuff like that. But when you start looking at it as a serious... Like, I'm getting really into this. I'm going to write a 200,000-word fan fiction about my favorite characters.
Sir Spinnis.
You know, there's a certain point where you kind of have to take a step back and reevaluate your life a little bit. But, no, there's just literally a time where you just have to take a step back and reevaluate your life and go and say, well, I could write my 300,000-word fan fiction about Dave and Carcat having sex. Or I could do literally anything else.
And my thing is, if you're going to write a 300,000-word epic about two characters fucking, why not write a 300,000-word epic? Why just make it about sex?
Because that's all they want to see.
But there's way more that's available.
You would think so, yeah. You would think that there's a lot more out there than just sex and relationships. Part of it is our culture is a very sex-centric culture. And not just sex-centric, but, like, I don't know. Like, you need someone in your life or something. I don't even know.
Well, here's the thing. You don't. I say this with, you know, at the same time that I have a boyfriend, because I was pretty single my entire life. I had very short relationships that I quickly fell out of because I couldn't take them seriously. I did not have a first kiss until I was 19, and you know what? I was okay with that. And I don't understand, and I do not like this obsessive, cultural-wide need for a significant other. It's not that you're going to be alone for the rest of your life. I knew this when I was 16 and single. It's okay to be single. I'm happy with being single. And if someone finds me and likes me and I like them back, then yay. But it's okay to be single and it's fine.
Actually, it's almost better to be single until you really find out who you are. I mean, honestly, that's how it has to work. You kind of have to figure out who you are before you can figure out what you want.
And, you know, we're always saying, you know, don't expect us to grow up so quick. The world expects us to... Don't try to grow up too quick. I think that sort of emotional commitment at a young age is a little bit silly. And I'm not saying, like, sexual preference. You can know you're gay at 12. You are just simply not attracted to someone of the... That's fine. But the literal person that you're going to be attracted to forever is not something I think you're going to know until later in life. And the problem, you know, I'm going back to Teresi here. Right now, she's what, 15, 16, canonically?
Something like
young,
that.
Young. Freaking out because her whole life is, you know, she's in... apparently dramatic teen stage. of my life is over, I've ruined it, I need this guy in my life. No, you don't. You were a strong character. You were stronger at 13 than you are at 15.
So much of that, though. I mean, the thing is, when I was in high school, I saw a lot of that, but not from characters like her.
But it frickin' sucks.
It's terrible to see friends and people kind of get into that, kind of get stuck into either bad relationships or needing someone. I mean, I don't know. Like, it's tough in general. You really, what people don't understand is that you really don't need anyone. And I'm going to say it again. I don't think you should even really start looking to anyone until you're happy with yourself, until you find yourself first. All right.
This might be really, really awkward of me to say, but I love RuPaul for this reason. She has this one saying in every show, RuPaul's Drag Race, she always says at the very end, if you can't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love someone else? Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
And the thing is, that's really powerful because, you know, you're right, you do have to solve yourself and love yourself and get all those problems banged out of yourself before you can really start knowing what to look for in someone else and getting hooked on it. And just, it's not, there is no need for a partner. There can be a desire for that intimacy, and trust me, I recognize the desire for that intimacy, because, hey, I was 16 and I wanted to cuddle somebody, but, you know, it's worth the wait to find that person that you can really connect with emotionally. You do not need a significant other to survive. You don't.
You say that.
Oh, don't mock this.
Oh, no, you need someone so badly. No, I mean, the thing is that you really don't. At the same time, it's nice when you do find someone, but the thing is, there are going to be so many misfires before you find the person that you want.
I
mean,
I can't belittle what we have. I'm very happy when I'm with you. But it's not like my life up until this point was a spiraling lie. I had a good time.
Mine was.
Mine
was a House of Leaves styled terrifying misadventure. No, I mean, it's hard because you and I have very different experiences with relationships, too.
I guess. At the same time, I think the lesson is pretty universal. You do not need a significant other. There's never a dying need for.
But the thing is that I think a lot of teenagers and younger people, I mean, you and I are both in our 20s. I'm in my mid-20s. You and I have gotten that lesson. We've learned it. Whereas I think teenagers have a harder time with that because there's the emotional...
Man, I was a teen and I knew it. Not all teens are idiots.
There are a lot of them are too.
I believe people are smart enough to realize this in their teenage years. I have to believe that. I don't think the world is a completely lost cause.
Well, you're not cynical like I am either.
True. No. I work in retail. I'm damn cynical.
Okay. But I mean, the thing is, I look at it and I go, okay. You know, there are some things in life that are really worth it. But don't get hung over this. You know, when you're in high school, you're going to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend or whatever.
Here's the thing. You're in high school.
More than likely, it's not going to
last. Your life is not determined at age 16, no matter how much college says it's going to be.
Usually, if you go to college, you're going to find someone there or afterwards. But high school is usually not where you're going to find someone. I've known all of 2 people in my life to find their significant other in high school. Their forever and ever significant other. 2 people out of all the people I know, which is like 10 people.
Hey, 1 in 5, no, that's not bad. Oh my gosh, look at this perfect little hand. I made a hand, look at this.
It's a little hand.
This perfect little hand. It is an adorably perfect little hand. Oh my gosh.
But yeah, I mean, it's too bad. It's definitely one of those things where you have to look at yourself. Some people are just not ready for relationships. You'll know it. You'll know if you feel like you're ready or not. You'll know if you feel like you're ready to get serious or not.
How did we go from Adventure Time to Homestuck?
Don't even ask me. I don't know.
Well, this would probably be a good time to sign off.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm ready to go. I actually have to get up at like 6 in the morning.
Yeah, I have to get up a little bit later than that, but I really should go.
All right, well, I'm going to stop then. Okay.